Take the word of God with me, please. Turn to Mark chapter 12 tonight. Mark chapter 12. We're studying through this book together. We've come to Mark chapter 12, verse number 41. Again, I remind you that this is just catch-up work, if you will. Some patchwork is what I'm calling, I guess you could say, through the book of Mark. These are passages that we're dealing with in this book that Matthew did not deal with, because as Matthew dealt with passages that Mark wrote about, we preached on them all together. So we're considering text in the book of Mark that's not found in the book of Matthew. Now, I may slip up and end up preaching on a text that I've already preached on in Matthew. I don't know, but as far as I know, I've not done that. The reason I say I may do that is because I was preparing another message. I was getting an outline and everything, and I went back to the book of Matthew and realized I've already preached it when I preached the book of Matthew. So anyway, tonight, I think this passage is not found in the book of Matthew, all right? Mark chapter 12, verse number 41. Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. There came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now, I want to draw your attention to a phrase in verse 41. It's the phrase, how the people cast money. How the people cast money. And that's the title of my message tonight. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. May the will of God be done. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us from your word. We thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if we were to take a survey on what is one topic that people would rather not hear preached about, no doubt it could very well be that the top answer would be money. However, if we're going to be faithful to the Word of God, we must speak about money. It's that simple. By the way, we need to understand and be reminded that 1/6 of the Gospels speak somehow about money or stewardship. One out of every three parables in the New Testament has to do with money or stewardship. 20% of the Bible speaks somehow or another about money or stewardship. Do you realize that in the Word of God there is more concerning money? I'm talking about being taught and spoke about that there's more concerning money in the Bible than concerning heaven and hell combined. Let me ask you a question. You think the place called heaven and the place called hell are important subjects in the Word of God? Absolutely. But if God allowed more to be written concerning money than either one of those places, how important do you think money must be to Almighty God? The subject of money is emphasized in Scripture. It really is. And it should therefore be important to us to learn what the Lord says about it. Now, while we don't major on this subject in this church, let me explain what I mean by that. In other words, I very rarely lift out a scripture just topically speaking on money. I very rarely do that. But as we preach through books, we're going to hit money every now and then. And this is one of those passages that we come to in our book study through the book of Mark. This portion of Scripture before us has to do with a lady and the giving of money, and rich people and the giving of money into the treasury. Now, in this text, what we see is the Lord sits down close to the treasury, and he's watching people cast their offerings into the treasury. Now, the Bible says, and I quote, "Many that were rich cast in much." However, there was one poor widow who came to the treasury and cast in two mites. According to my study, that's about a half a cent today. So you take a penny, cut it in half, that's about how much she gave. A mite back in this day, a mite was the smallest Jewish coin that was in existence. And two mites was considered the smallest offering that was permitted. In other words, you couldn't go any smaller than two mites. Now, when the Lord saw this poor widow woman and how she gave her two mites, he called his disciples unto him and he told them this. He said, this poor widow has cast more in than anybody else that has cast in today. He went on to explain how this was true because while others cast in of their abundance, she cast in all of her living. Now relax, I'm not preaching tonight that you need to give every dime to the church. I'm not preaching that. But what we are preaching is that everything that God wanted her to give, she gave it. Even if it was everything she had at that particular time in her life. Now, she had, right here, she gave all she had, while others just gave a portion of what they had to give. Now, as we think and meditate upon this story, and what the Lord Jesus told his disciples, as they were coming and casting in, and as the poor widow came and just cast in the smallest offering permitted, there are several thoughts of application I want to give us from this text. Now, yes, it does apply to money. No question about that. But don't stop there. These application points not only deal with your pocketbook, it deals with our life in general. You realize that God is not impressed if you give all of your finances, but you've never given your heart to Him. He wants you. And if He gets you, He'll get everything you have. This being the case, let me give you some thoughts of application to take home from these four verses here that we read in your hearing tonight. Number one, simple thoughts. I do want you to think about your offerings. By the way, what I'm preaching tonight, this is one of the things that God blesses a local church for. Let me say this to you. God has blessed this local church. I'm not preaching this because we need an offering. But I think it's very interesting, preaching through books, that God has brought us to this portion and faith promise is right around the corner. It's very interesting to me that God has led us to this portion of Scripture as I'm just preaching through the book of Mark, and faith promise is 2 or 3, 4 weeks away. This being the case, let me give you some thoughts about it. Number one, God sees how we give. He sees how we give. Notice the Bible says in verse number 41, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Now, this verse tells us how the Lord Jesus sat close to the treasury and he beheld how the people put money into the treasury. This word beheld here is a strong word. What it means is it means to be a spectator. It means to perceive. It means to consider, or it means to intensively acknowledge something. See, the point here is how the Lord Jesus was taking notice. He had his eyes on these people as they were bringing their money to pour into the treasury that was to take care of the house of God. He was intensively taking notice of these people. He was intensively observing what was happening, what was taking place. This tells me that the way we give to the Lord is very important to Him. Very important. Notice the Bible says He was watching how they gave. How did they give? Not only what did they give, but how did they give it? He's watching all of this. He's observing all of this. And let me say this to you. He sees and knows not only what we give, but He also sees and knows how we give it. He knew who gave some, and He knew who gave all. Now get this. While others saw how much the rich gave, the Lord took notice of how much the widow gave. This is encouraging to realize right here, that it is not what others see that matter, but what the Lord sees. That's all that really matters. One person put it this way, and I quote, "Let us give as those who remember that the eyes of Christ are upon us. He still sees exactly what each gives and knows exactly how much is left behind." In other words, the point I'm trying to get across here is even in your giving, whether it be money, whether it be time, whether it be talents, in context, we're talking about money to the treasury. In context, that would be like giving to the offering of the local church. the house of God, you understand, in context talking about money, but in general talking about our life, we need to live for the audience of one. Who cares what other people see? Who cares what other people know about it? God sees it. God knows about it. He knows how much you're giving in comparison to how much He wants you to give. He sees it. He knows it. Second thing I want to show you in this text is not only that God sees how we give, but number two, now get this, this is just a principle. God not only sees what we give, but He also sees what we keep. Let me say it again. God not only sees what we give, but He also sees what we keep. We see this in verses 43 and 44 in His own language. He said, "Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in." How does He know that? What's He saying here? "Than all they which have cast of the treasury, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of all her, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all." How do you know it was all she had? Because He's God, friends. He knew that was every dime she had on her at that moment. But that also tells me that He also knew that when those rich people put in their, if you will, today's terminology, $1,000, $1,500, $2,500, $50,000, threw in the car keys. Now, you know there weren't any cars back in that day. I'm just paraphrasing. He also knew that they had some left over in their pockets. This tells me He not only knows what we give, but He knows what we keep. See, there are two ways to look at money. And those two ways are this: how much of my money would I give to God? Or how much of God's money will I keep for myself? There's a big difference in those two philosophies. There's too many people today saying, "How much of my money am I going to give back to God?" Wait a minute, it all belongs to God. Every last dime of it. And we need to understand that it's not how much of my money should I give to God, it's how much of God's money should I keep for myself. Matter of fact, the Word of God teaches that it all belongs to Jesus Christ. Psalm 24, verse 1 says this. It says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." You know what that means? That means the world and everything in it is God's. That's what it means. It goes on to say basically the same thing in Psalm 50, verses 11 and 12. Listen to this. "I know all the fowls of the mountains." This is God speaking. "I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof." The Bible also teaches this in Haggai chapter 2, verse 8. Here's how it goes here. God said, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts." Friends, listen to me. It's time we all understand this. There is not one penny that belongs to us. Not one penny. It's not my money. It's not your money. It's all God's money. Somebody says, "Wait a minute, I earned that." Who gave you the ability to go out and earn it? The Word of God plainly teaches that the silver is His, the gold is His, the cattle on a thousand hills is His, the hills that they stand on are His, the world is His, those that live in it are His. I'm talking about the fullness of the world is His. Everything belongs to God Almighty. With this in mind, we should be willing to give anything God desires us to give. It's His money. And if He wants us to give 10%, 20%, 50%, or 100%, you need to find out what God tells you to give and give it, because it's His and He has a right to tell us what to do with it. Now this is what this text is driving home here. The Rock of Ages Study Bible, King James Version, puts it this way. God judges our giving not so much by how much we give, but by how much we have left after giving, and in what spirit we give our tithes and offerings. See, in this poor widow, we see, as J. Vernon McGee put it, and I quote, he said this, "Her love and devotion were in the gift. She gave all because she loved God, and she wanted to give Him as much as she possibly could." There's one person to put it this way. You see, it isn't the dollar amount that makes the offering a blessing. It's the heart behind the gift. It's not how much you give, but how much you give of what you have that matters to God. Is what you give, now ask yourself this question. Is what you give, by the way, I have great liberty preaching this because I don't know what you give. Amen. I don't know what one person gives here. If you don't tithe, I don't know it. If you don't give the faith promise, I don't know it. I'm glad it's that way. Preacher taught me that, and I'm so glad he taught me that because one thing, it makes me free as a bird. Somebody ever looks at me and says, you just want me here because of my money. I have to say, excuse me, I have no idea what you give. Somebody gets upset and says, hey, he's just trying to get more money out of me. I have no idea what you give. I'm free as a bird. I'm free as a bird. What am I saying to you here? What I'm saying to you is this. Is what you give truly all he wants you to give? I didn't ask, are you giving him all of your money? I'm asking, is what you're giving him truly all he wants you to give to him? You know, we should never go to God and say, God, do you want me to decrease my giving? That should never come out of a child of God's mouth. The only question that should come out is, God, am I giving enough? And if I'm not, he'll tell me. And if we obey him, he'll bless it. Spurgeon put it this way, and I quote, how often do we hear persons speak of giving their might when they know that they are doing no such thing? This poor woman gave her all. Where do we find such givers nowadays? We must measure our generosity not by what we give, but by what remains. Jesus sat over against the treasury and is sitting there still. He knows what we bring to him, and he sees whether it is a fair proportion of our means. He measures our offerings not by their amount, but by the will of the giver. I want to ask you a question. How's your giving? How much of what God wants you to give are you keeping for yourself? One person put it this way, and I quote, the stinginess of professing Christians in all matters which concern God and religion is one of the crying sins of the day and one of the worst signs of the times. The vast majority spend pounds on themselves, this writer goes on to say, and give not even pence to Christ. Now again, let me emphasize this to you. It is not that this church needs more money, but we do need the blessing of God upon this church. We cannot have it the way we need it unless God's children, including the pastor. Now, friends, listen to me. If a pastor or a preacher ever gets up and speaks that you ought to tithe, you ought to be giving offerings, and he is not doing it himself, if you find out about it, get rid of him. Listen, you can call. I give you my permission. If you want to find out if this pastor and his wife is giving, call the church and ask. Call them and ask. I don't do it for that, but let me say this. You have a right to know. You ought to know if I'm going to get up and preach to you like this and I'm doing it myself. Amen or not, friends? And can I say something to you? We tithe. We give the faith promise. We are doing our part. As of right now, we are doing exactly what God has told us to do. And if he tells me to increase this year, that's exactly what we're going to do. You say, Jody, what are you doing? I'm trying to let you know that I'm not going to, I do not want to be a pastor that preaches that you ought to do it and I'm not doing it myself, friends. That's not of God. That's not of God. I heard of a preacher, this has been several months ago, but I'd heard something, you know, kind of negative about him, and so I called his pastor and I said, talk to me a little bit about this. And what I'd heard was false, so I was glad I called because I had heard he'd gone off doctrinally. He had not gone off doctrinally, but his pastor told me, he said, listen, he said, I know personally that he does not tithe. I know it personally. And I have heard him get up and preach in churches and telling them, you need to tithe, you need to tithe, you need to tithe. And I know the whole time he's not tithing himself. And he said this, his pastor said this to me. He said, the man can preach the stars down, but I would not walk across the street to hear him. Can I say something to you? I'm not trying to judge, but somebody who gets up and says you ought to tithe and they're not tithing themselves, that is about as low as you can get. Amen, friends. I'm just trying to say that what I'm telling you, I'm trying to live myself. By the way, One reason I preach hard, one reason I do this, is because God beats the daylights out of me with my own messages. He really does. I need this as much as you do. I'm not preaching this to you. I'm preaching it to us. The Holy Spirit of God is saying, hey, I don't only know what you give, I know what you keep, son. I know what you keep. Are you keeping what you should be giving? Now, I can't answer that question, but the Holy Spirit of God can. And if you're giving what God's told you to do, wonderful. Outstanding. God knows it. God sees it. God's going to reward you. But if you're keeping something that you know in your heart He wants you to give, He also knows that. And we see that from this text right here. Major thought number three tonight. Number one, we see the thought that God sees how we give. Number two, God not only sees what we give, but what we keep. Thought number three, it is good to give to God. It is a good thing. The Word of God teaches this all the way through this text, these four verses here. As we consider this story, we see how the Lord never condemned anybody from giving money into the treasury. By the way, this treasury, according to my study, was to help with the upkeep of the temple of God. In other words, it was used to buy things, to repair things, whatever the case may be. It was like people bringing and putting an offering in the offering plate in the New Testament, a New Testament local church. It was given for the house of God, for God and His house. That's what it was given for. Now get this. We see in this that one gave all she should have. Some didn't give as much as they should have. But He never condemned anyone for giving something. In other words, it was a good thing for all of them to give something. All of them. He is pleased with His creatures, giving to Him what He has delivered to them. He really has. I mean, He personally, if you will, just an illustration here. Let's just say that this is money, all right? And it all comes from God. He created it. He did all of this. And then what He does, if this is us right here, this is us, God takes what is His, He's created it, and He's given it to us. And He steps back. And He says, I want a tenth back. Don't pray about it. That's my will. Above that, I want you to give me some offerings. Does He have a right to say that, yes or no? Sure He does. Because you don't have it if He didn't give it. So He has every right to say anything He wants to. And what He gets glory from is when the creature says, you know, He's been so good to me. Whatever He asks, and even above what He asks, God, please take it. As a matter of fact, why don't you tell me how much you want me to keep? And I'll just keep that and you can have the rest. Don't you think God's going to bless an attitude like that, friends? Sure. That's what this passage is all about. It is a good thing to give to God. It's a good thing. The Bible says in Acts 20, verse 35, it says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. 2 Corinthians 9, 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. See, after all, right here, after all the Lord has given us, we should look for ways to give back to Him. And one way to do this is with our offerings to Him to help further His kingdom. We know from the Word of God that sacrificial giving is well-pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And may I say this to you, when you know it's a good thing and God is pleased with it, that's enough. That should be enough. How much do you want me to give? Let me give you a fourth thing. Is this the last thing here? No, I've got two more. Stay with me. Number four. Sacrificial giving gets God's attention and His approval. We see this in verses 43 and 44. See, the Lord told His disciples that this poor widow had given to the treasury sacrificially. The others had given out of their abundance, He said, and had much left over. But this one poor widow gave, and he said, and I quote, quote here, all her living. Now that phrase, all her living, it's a common consensus and one that I agree with here, that this means that she gave all that she had to live on at that time. In this, we see this woman denying herself in order to be involved in giving to her God. Get this, she didn't have much, but she gave it anyway. Those around her that day may not have even taken notice of her puny little offering. I mean, after all, the Word of God talks about all these rich people coming in and just cashing in their abundance, but yet they were keeping half or keeping three quarters. The Word of God's not plain about that, but we know that they didn't give it all. They didn't give it all to God. They just gave part of it. And when they gave part of it, I mean, everybody else might be sitting back listening. By the way, according to my study, these coffers, I think is what they would call them, there were several of them within like the corridor of the temple or wherever they were located. Guess what these coffers, I'm talking about like the offering plates. You know what they were shaped like? According to my study, they were shaped like trumpets. And it's interesting that according to my study, when they would drop money down into it, it would make noises, loud noises, almost like those trumpets were making sounds. So when the rich people were dropping it in, dropping it in, dropping it in, it was like a loud trumpet. It kind of brings a little bit more light whenever the Lord said that the Pharisees like to have the trumpets blowing whenever they're going to give and all this kind of stuff. They want everybody to hear. They want everybody to know what they're doing. And maybe all the people were focusing on them, focusing on them, focusing on them. And all of a sudden, don't you see her? She's a poor widow. She didn't have a lot of money. She's got a half a cent in her pocket. It's everything she's got. It's everything she's got to buy anything with. But she wants to put God first in her life. And she walks in. You can imagine the crowd. You can hear all the clanging of all the money being dropped down in all those trumpet-shaped places. You can hear it clanking and clanking and clanking. And everybody saying, wow, look how much he gave. Wow, listen to that. Somebody must have just given a lot of, wow, look at that. And all of a sudden, this poor widow just sneaks in. And she takes her two little mites and she drops them. Hardly makes a noise. And she quietly leaves. Maybe nobody else noticed. But somebody a whole lot bigger than man took notice that day. Jesus took notice. Jesus watched her all the way. And all I'm saying to you is that even though human beings may not have thought it was much and it was puny, it got the Son of God's attention. Because, get this, he knew what a sacrifice this lady had just made for him. He knew it. He knew that she had given out of her own poverty. Luke also writes about this story, and in that book he used the word that she gave out of her own poverty. She gave out of her own emptiness. This is all she had. He knew that she had given all she could. He even said that she had given more than anybody else. And as one person said, more in the sight of him who looks not merely at the amount given, but at the ability of the giver. Not merely at the quantity contributed, but at the motive and heart of the contributor. See, when one of God's children sacrificially gives to the Lord, he sees it. He approves it. It will not go unnoticed. Let me ask you a question. Would you like, now I'm just trying to paint a picture in your mind. It's not that this is literally going to happen, if you will. But you know, whenever you get the attention of somebody, it's like they do something like this. Or, you follow me, what I'm saying here, okay? Wouldn't you like the Son of God just every now and then to look your way like that? Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like to get his attention? Wouldn't you like him to just take notice? You know how you do it? Sacrificially give to him. If you will obey him, if he tells you to give that, and you say, I have no idea how I'm going to do that, and you're going to sacrifice some things just so you can, the Son of God will take notice of it. And he will reward you tremendously. Now, let me give you a final thing here, and I'm going to kind of apply this, if you will, just because this is how the Lord kind of laid it on my heart towards faith promise. We ought to know the tithes of the Lord's. Amen, friends? I mean, you don't have to pray about the tithe. 10% comes off the gross, not the net, the gross. And the fact of the matter is, you tithe 10%, not because you've prayed about it, but because God told you to do it. And above that, God wants you to give offerings just like he wants me. Now, this being the case, let me give you the fifth thing. Here's principle number five, right from this text here. Everybody can give their all. Everybody can do that. What I mean by this is this woman didn't give God some or most of what she had, but she gave him everything she had. While this is speaking about money, this is certainly a point that we can apply to our lives in general. No matter how much a person has to give, he or she can give it all to God. Now, let us determine that we will not keep anything for ourselves, but that we will give all we have to God. Now, get this. This means that not one dime, not one penny will go where the Lord does not tell us to put it. By the way, is it God's will for you to pay your bills? Amen. As long as you don't run up some, I mean, you understand what I'm saying to you. God wants you to pay your bills. So you know when you take the money that God gives you and you pay that bill that you're really giving that to God because he's the one that told you to pay your bills. Follow me what I'm saying to you? All I'm saying to you is that every single penny should make sure that we should make sure it's going to every place that God has told us to send it to. That means the church is going to be getting some of it, friends. That means the mortgage company is going to be getting some of it. That means, hey, the phone company, whatever the case is going to be, is going to be getting some of it. But at the same time, before you go out and buy that boat, now there's nothing wrong with that now, but before you ever buy that boat, you ought to sit back and say, God, you want me to put that towards faith promise instead of buying that boat? And if God says go ahead, then go ahead. There's nothing wrong with having it if God gives it to you. But if you start buying that and buying that and buying that and buying that, and then faith promise comes, I can't give anything extra. But you bought a brand new TV. You bought a brand new vehicle. You bought a brand new boat. You bought this, you bought that. Don't say you don't have anything to give. You squandered it on other things. Now don't look at me like a calf looking at a new gate, friends. You know what I'm saying to you? Here's what I'm saying. There's a lost world that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if God's children would give God's way, it would happen. It would happen. I'm telling you that it makes no difference if you have 5 cents, $5, $50, $500, $5,000, $50,000, all, you see where I'm going. Makes no difference how much you have. You can give all of it to God. All of it. All of it. And if God has given you $250,000, then ask him, God, help me give every penny where you want me to give it. Show me where you want it to go. This is the emphasis of this passage. God was pleased when she emptied her pockets and gave everything she had. Let me ask you a question. Do you think God took care of that poor widow? I think he probably did. Amen or not, friends. And he's going to do the same thing with you. Now, while there were those back in this day who wanted everybody to know how much they gave, talking about the Pharisees, the hypocrites, even though they kept much for themselves, they still wanted to show the big globs of money that they were throwing in. The Son of God focuses our attention on one poor widow who gave all she had. It was only two mites. But her offering grabbed the attention of the Son of God. And he included her story in the Word of God, and we're preaching about her tonight. Let us learn the importance of giving all we have, no matter how small the amount may seem. When faith promise comes, many of you are familiar with this. Some of you, this may be new and not worrying about it tonight as far as explaining everything it is. But we will read off from the pulpit the commitments that our church family have gone home. God willing, they've prayed about it. This is above the tithes and offerings. We don't read the names. As a matter of fact, we tell folks you don't even have to put your name on it because it's not a pledge. It's just you saying that you're believing God for this above your tithes and offerings. And if God provides it, you're going to give it on a weekly basis or monthly basis or whatever the case may be. Sometimes there are amounts on there that says $50 a week. Some of them are very high, like $500 a week. But occasionally there's 25 cents a week, 45 cents a week, $450 a week. What am I saying? I'm saying that if the $450 a week is in obedience to God, God will notice that, God sees that, and God will bless that. But if the 45 cents is also the will of God, He will notice that, He will see that, and He will bless that too. It's not about how much you give. It's about how much you give of what He tells you to. Hear and hear His words over and over again. Men, come here. His disciples. You see that poor widow that just went over there and put in two mites? She has given more than anybody else. Why, you ask? Because all of those people, they gave a lot, but I also know they kept a lot in their pocket. But that woman gave me everything she had. She gave of her poverty. So I'm just going to record this story from now on. And I'm going to honor her by allowing her story to be preached at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church on October the 2nd, 2013. We don't know her name. I don't really think she cares, do you? But I'll guarantee you one thing. I'll guarantee you she's glad now that she took it out of her pocket and put it in the offering plate. There's a lost and dying world, and they need to hear the gospel. And can I say this to you? That takes money. I want this church to get alone with God and say, God, I know it's your will for me to give to Faith Promise. That's the will of God, friends. How much do you want me to give? After all, Lord, it's all yours anyway. And if you tell me 10, 20, 10 cents, 20 cents, or 200, I'll believe you for it. And you can have it. See that picture, that little boy right there? I don't know him. I don't know who snapped that picture. But look into his face and look into his eye. What this church does for Faith Promise can reach a little boy just like that. I want to get involved in something like that. And I want my wife to know she's sitting here and she is behind this 1,000%. Thank God for a godly wife. By the way, before I tell you what I was going to say, her and I have always prayed separately. God, what do you want us to do for Faith Promise? And every year He's told us the same number. Every year. You say, should me and my wife do that? Here's what I say. If you and your wife both love God and both want God's will and you're not playing games? I mean, you're both open to the will of God. Whatever God tells me, it's yes. If you will pray and she will pray, God will lay the same number on your heart. And I'm telling my wife that whatever God lays on our heart to increase for faith promise, my answer is already yes. Show me, Father. Show me. Because it's yours anyway. You see the emphasis of this passage? I'm just applying it to faith promise. And may the Lord help us see this, okay? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you for this night. And I pray that you help us to be faithful to you. Help us to understand the importance of just giving what you want us to give. That's the emphasis, Lord. It's not about how much we give. It's how much we give of what you want us to give. And you take notice of it. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I never want to let a service come and go without making sure that you know that heaven is your home. There's somebody here tonight that does not know Jesus as your Savior. If there's never been a time where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone, why don't you come on a Wednesday night? Let us take a gospel. Take the gospel and share it with you. And tonight you can become a child of God. Tonight I want to ask you, are you really giving all you have to God? I emphasize to you, that doesn't mean that you put every dime in the offering plate of the local church. But it does mean this, you make sure that every dime he wants to go in the offering plate goes in there. And that all the other dimes go to every other place that he wants them to go. It means you let him call the shots, not you. It's his money. Don't steal the money of God. Let him make the decisions. Have you say, Jody, I'm going to be honest. I want God to show me what he wants me to do. Since I'm applying it to faith promise, let's talk about faith promise. Have you say, Jody, I want God to show me what he wants me to do this year in faith promise. I want that. I desire that. Be honest. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You say, I desire for God to show me that. Okay? Thank you. You raise your hand to that. And I realize that that's folks that you call this your church home. I understand that. Folks who are visiting with us, we don't expect you to raise your hand to that. But if you want God to show you, can I remind you, he wants you to know more than you want to know. And he will show you. And all we need to do is be faithful and be obedient. I'm going to pray, and Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. Maybe God's burdening your heart about just being serious about faith promise. Or maybe you want to start tonight on your knees at the altar, if you can bend. And say, God, please help my heart to be tender. Help me to know exactly what you're saying. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to sing. If you want to come pray to God, talk to God about it. Your faith promise, whatever it is. As Brother Gary sings, come now. Would you do that? Come right now.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Hold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
We're playing through softly. If you're standing, you look this way. We're just about done. Let me just kind of share with you what talking about. If somebody gives $25 a week, $100 a month, that's another missionary family we can put on the field. Somebody gives $10, hey, every little bit helps. All I'm asking is that we follow the Lord. That's all I ask. Again, what's the emphasis? Just obey the Lord. Just obey God. He'll tell you. If he tells you, the amount he's told you is exactly what you ought to give. And if it's not as much as somebody else that you, I'm talking about, that you hear called off, don't worry about it. because God told you to give what you're going to give. It's not I gave that or he gave that or he's given more than me or I'm giving. No, am I giving what God told me to give? And if you are, he's going to take notice. And he's going to bless it. You see it? That's this passage. Ask Brother Mike Dotson, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, sir, please.